Hello. You're listening to Effective Prayer and Effective Action with Jim Collier. We want to welcome you to today's program. Want to release something that's timely here to you today. This is a very strategic time that we are living in, and we need to receive, and in our own devotions, in our communications, a very timely words, because this is a very strategic time that we're living in. And so I just want to bring a message here today to you. Won't be a real tight message or real polished or anything like that, but if you'll have ears to hear, you'll hear what I believe God is saying right now to us. This is not all that he's saying, but I believe this is one of the things that he's saying. If you're listening and if you want to partner with us and in our ministry and what we do, you can contact us at Pray for Our Cities, PFOC. Pray for Our Cities is the organization that sponsors this radio program, this podcast. That's Pray for Our Cities, or just PFOC, P.O. Box 1755. That's P.O. Box 1755, Harrisburg, P.A., Harrisburg, P.A., stands for Pennsylvania, 17105-1755. If you need to call us, you can call us at area code 717-238-5621. That's 717-238-5621. And if you want to email us, you can email us at PENIELCFI, that's P as in Paul, ENIELCFI at AOL.com, and we'll respond to you. Put something in the subject line, let me know that you listen to the podcast or radio program or something like that, and then we'll know that it's not spam. Over in Genesis, the 35th chapter, to get started here with this here. In Genesis 35th chapter, it starts out and it says, "Then God said to Jacob." Now, it says, "Then God said to Jacob," but Genesis 35th chapter comes after the 34th chapter, and I understand there were not chapters when it was written, but there was the whole Dinah incident that took place, which I don't have time to talk about here today, but it was a very serious situation, involved Jacob's whole family. Chapters 32 and 33, well, 33, 34, dealt with Jacob meeting Esau again and that sort of thing, and what happened in their reconciliation. 32, of course, is when Jacob wrestled with the angel, or as some of us believe, wrestled with God. And then over here in 35, it said, "Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there." I like the way that the New King James Version and the others, because the idea, it really is to return to Bethel. In the Message, it says, "God spoke to Jacob, go back to Bethel, go back to Bethel, stay there." And I'll just read from the Message: "Stay there and build an altar to the God who revealed himself to you when you were running for your life from your brother Esau." God spoke to Jacob, go back to Bethel, stay there and build an altar to the God who revealed himself to you when you were running for your life from your brother Esau. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, we want to hear what you are speaking, what you are saying. And Lord, even in all of this, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Because, Lord, we recognize that it's not all about us, but it is all about you. And so thank you, Lord, for how you love us and how you speak to us and watch over us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're listening today, I believe that it's a setup. I believe it's a divine setup. I believe God set you up. And the reason why I believe that is because God's been setting me up lately. The setup relates to purpose. God has been moving in my life to get me back into a place of very strategic alignment in my own personal life. Strategic alignment relates to staying in purpose, knowing your purpose, who you are, what God has called you to. If you will listen to the Father, He will continually bring you to a place of awareness of who you are and why He's given you life and why you are here. Father God desires for us to know our purpose. And so I know it can seem at times that it's a struggle to come into a place of awareness of your purpose. But really, when you begin to just listen to the voice of the Father and begin to open your eyes to see what He will show you and open up your ears to hear what He will speak to you, it all will flow in purpose. And it's a difficult concept to explain, but all of it will flow in purpose. You'll begin to understand that there's a reason for everything, and things don't just happen in your life. You'll begin to see just how much God is involved in your life. And I'm telling you, man, it's almost like you begin to see God in all things. It can almost be frightening. Let me share that with you. It could almost be frightening when you come back into a place of awareness of just how much God is real and just how much He's involved in your life. And I just speak that today over the airwaves. Like I said, I don't want to bring these tight programs to you anymore. That's one of the reasons why I felt it was time, and I felt God was leading me to change the name of the program about effective prayer and effective action, because see, God will release a now word, a prophetic word. God will release a word that He is releasing to elicit a response. And we have to understand that. This is what's happening right here with Jacob. God saying, God speaking to him and telling him, go back to Bethel. I want to talk about that here today, because it's a reason why God was telling him to go back to Bethel. It says right there that it says, go back to Bethel, stay there, build an altar to the God who revealed Himself to you when you were running for your life from your brother Esau. And Jacob told his family and all those who live with him, throw out all the alien gods which you have, take a good bath, put on clean clothes, we're going to Bethel. I'm going to build an altar there to God who answered me when I was in trouble and has stuck with me everywhere I've gone since. Some key things here. One is that returning to Bethel, Beth El, basically Bethel means house of God. And then building an altar, of course, worship, right? And you remember at Bethel when Jacob got the revelation and he saw the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending upon that staircase or ladder to God. I believe God is speaking to us and in this new year, 2007. I believe God is speaking to us and telling us to go back to Bethel. I believe that's a very now word to you. What it means to you will be very personal, but it'll be in the context somehow of returning to a place of just pure, simple, unadulterated worship before God. See, it all starts in worship, and it all goes forward in worship. And so I just want to speak just about three things here today. I shared this word at our congregation, and just three little things. One of the things that's very important in our lives is that we understand and establish the proper priorities, the proper order of priority. The word priority just means precedence. It's an established by order of importance or urgency, a particular order or sequence in which things are to take place, the way items are to be processed or things are to be done. And a priority is based on a predetermined assignment of value or importance to different types of events and people. We can have a lot of priorities in our lives, but all of these things do not have the same importance. All of them, we could have a lot of things that are important, but there's still going to be something that is to take priority. And I just want to give you three priorities that you can focus on for this year. I believe that God is saying this is a year of incredible opportunity. This is a time, this is a season. Well, I'd say year, but it's a time, it's a season. If you can sense the heart of God, that as you move into things, some very powerful things can take place. Just three priorities, all of them important, like I said, but there is a sequence. There's an ordering or a sequence of these priorities, and so you got to get the first thing first, and et cetera. I'll just give you three letters, WPA, WPA, and you can just kind of think about that, W, P, and A. The number one priority, of course, and you might have figured it out right now, is spend more time worshiping God. That's why God will tell us to return to Bethel. Worship has got to be a priority in our lives, and some of us, we're worshipers of God. We love God. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've given our hearts to Jesus. But how many of you know you can get caught up in a lot of stuff, a lot of activity, and worship will cease to be the priority that maybe it used to be in your life? Bethel was a very important place for Jacob. Jacob had went on, though, and a lot of different things had happened, and God was telling him, return to Bethel. We need to spend more time worshiping God. We got to return there to Bethel. We got to get to know Jesus all over again, fall in love with him all over again, understand that God will give a now word, understand what happens when you move into a place of intimacy with the Lord, to where you value him and value his word, when you come back to a place of recognizing and understanding you cannot live without him. Coming back to a place to where we settle down and Father God's unconditional love, and we live with an awareness and appreciation of the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. See, worship fosters awareness. Let me say it again. Worship fosters awareness. It fosters awareness of relationship to God, and it increases the desire for fellowship with God. John 4 23 and 24 says, yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. How about that? The Father seeking kinds of worshipers. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So what should you do practically this year and in this season, in this time? Well, one of the things we need to do again is we need to intentionally set aside time periods to worship the Lord. Don't allow yourself to just fall into that trap of just worshiping God on Sunday mornings, or if you have a Wednesday service on Wednesdays or whatever. Worship God all the time. When you go into prayer meetings and there's a calling and a moving in prayer, and I was just in a prayer meeting last evening, and a desire to get back at going after God, knowing that we need God for our cities and for our communities. Well, listen, when you come into the meeting, when you come into the room, when you come together for a prayer meeting or anything, you come in a spirit and an attitude of worship. You should have already been worshiping God. When you're driving over to the meeting, worship God. Let us worship God. And let me encourage you in something now. Intentionally set aside time periods to worship the Lord. Don't allow it to just be Sunday morning or when you get together a meeting. You worship God. Begin once again to express your gratitude to God for everything. I'm talking about everything, not just at mealtime when they give you some food or worship God. Thank God for everything. Be like a little child in this again. Thank God when you get a parking space. Thank God when you get somewhere on time. Thank God that you wake up in the morning. Just become very grateful once again. Find something to thank God for every day, and recognize that there's nothing more important that you can do than worship God. It is a priority. It's priority number one. There's nothing more important that you can do. You hear me? If you're listening to me, and I don't know how many leaders or pastors or others might listen to this program, but let me encourage you in something. Well, as leaders, we can get very busy. A lot of things on our plate, our agenda. And that comes with a leadership call, because you've been called to foster things and activity and to lead. But let worship be a priority. I shared at our congregation, you might want to, if you use a day timer or whatever you use, Franklin Covey or system or whatever you use. You know, I use a PDA. I use it's all on electronic. But listen to me. Put worship at the number one priority on your calendar. Worship God. Richard Foster said that as worship begins in holy expectancy, it ends in holy obedience. Holy obedience saves worship from becoming an opiate and escape from the pressing needs of modern life. And so I'm talking to, when I said I don't know how many leaders listen, I'm talking to leaders, whether you realize you're a leader or not. Listen to me. Worship is not to be some kind of drug, but or an escape from pressing needs of modern life. Worship is to move us into a place of holy obedience. Holy obedience. Holy obedience. God is calling us into prayer, and pastors getting together to pray, intercessors getting together to pray. God is moving in that thing because it's on his heart. You listen to me, though. It's not just a feel-good thing. Absolutely not. God will bring us to a place of convergence. It'll be to a place, a pinpoint place of breakthrough, and it is for us to move forward. God will speak. He'll give us strategic words, and he'll speak to us for us to go to the next step of action and obedience. Jack Hafer said, worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worship. Man, listen, if God's calling us to Bethel, and I'm telling you he is. If God's calling us to Bethel, it's for us to we're being changed into the image. We've been recreated in the image of him, of God. Christ is the image of God. Listen now, shake off all that foolishness. Shake off that confusion now. Understand. And why is God conforming us to that image? Why? Because God wants to show up. And C.S. Lewis said, it is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to men. It is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to men. Listen, not just communicating his presence to us as we're worshiping him, but as we are worshipers going forward in the power and the authority of God, God communicating his presence. God communicating his presence. God shows up and the devil flees. So number one, priority now, worship God, return to Bethel. Number two, number one, W, worship. Number two, purpose. Well, one of the things about purpose is that you got a purpose to gain a greater understanding about God's will for your life. And then you got a purpose to fulfill it. Listen to me now. Twofold. Purpose to gain awareness and understanding, but purpose to fulfill what God shows you. So what should you do? Well, pray and ask God for a greater understanding of your purpose. Your purpose is what you're here on earth to do, and what you do at any time should be related to your purpose and your overall purpose in life. Get into purpose. Purpose will keep you alive. The most dangerous place you can be is to be out of alignment and not to be properly aligned and not to be in purpose. See, that's one of the problems that you got people running around trying to function, and whether you believe whether God is restoring apostles or not, that's not even important. But you have people trying to function in roles and positions that they have not been called to. Man, that's a dangerous place to be. Just be who God has called you to be. And on the other flip side, you have people who are not functioning in the positions that God has called them to, whether out of fear or whatever. I don't know. But, man, that's a dangerous place to be. Listen, God will continually move in our lives to get us into proper alignment and to get us into the functioning of what he has called us to do. Because, see, that is how we move in the anointing. And that is how God's will and desires released in our lives with a full effect. In other words, see, your purpose is given to you by God, and he blesses you in your purpose and actually works to stop you from getting off track. Let me say it real clear. Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11 says, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart throughout all generations." If you don't know your purpose, someone else will try to give you theirs. So you need to be aware of that. One of the things of knowing your purpose is that no one else can give you theirs or throw you something at you if it's not related to your purpose. The more clearly you see and understand your purpose, the less time you'll spend on cleaning up wrong decisions that are made in your life from not knowing your purpose. See, there's a direct correlation. You need to think purpose. And when you pray, you need to pray in purpose. One of the things that I've trained and taught, wrote a book on is praying with the three P's. You need to pray in purpose and passion and pursuit. You need to know how to pray in purpose, stay in purpose. Don't get out of purpose. A gentleman named Henry David Thoreau. I don't agree with everything he wrote, but he kind of hit it on this one. He said, "I've learned that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." Absolutely. Marion Wright Edelman works with Save the Children, I believe it is. She said, "I'm doing what I think I was put on this earth to do, and I'm really grateful to have something that I'm passionate about and that I think is profoundly important." We all should say that. Viktor Frankl, who wrote about the Holocaust and who was a psychiatrist, he said this here. He said, "A man who becomes conscious of the responsibility he bears towards a human being who affectionately waits for him or to an unfinished work will never be able to throw away his life. He knows the why for his existence and will be able to bear almost any how. What man actually needs is not a tensionless state, but rather the striving and struggling for some goal worthy of him. What he needs is not the discharge of tension at any cost, but the call of a potential meaning waiting to be fulfilled by him." The call of a potential meaning waiting to be fulfilled by him. And then see, when I hear that, I think God put me on this earth for a reason. There's something to be released through my life, and I need to know what my calling and my purpose is and move with God. And then, so one is W, number worship. Number two is purpose. Number three is action. 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 This is a season. It's a time of action. Anybody that knows me, I'm a person of prayer. It's hard for me not to just break out in prayer right now, but I want to get this released. I'm a person of prayer. Anybody that knows me, but I have come and I recognize, listen, praying is not enough. You got to pray. You got to pray all the time, but listen, you got to act. And that's why we changed this program to effective prayer and effective action. We don't want to come to the time of birthing and just bring forth wind. I don't even want to be involved in anything in my life of coming to a time of birthing and just bringing forth wind. I don't want to faint when I'm supposed to reap. And the Bible says you reap if you faint not. I want to know how to move into breakthrough. I want to know how to move into the next step. I want to reap. And so we need to become more aware of the importance of our actions. Filter all you say and all you do through the twin pillars in your foundation of worship and purpose. And we laid it in priority. Listen to what I said now. I said in order of priority, worship, purpose, now action. Not that action is not important, but it's just not as important as worship and then purpose and then action. Now listen, it's a priority. Listen. You might say, well, why didn't you say prayer? Prayer comes out of worship. You cannot worship God in spirit and in truth without being a person of prayer. Filter all you say and do through the twin pillars in your foundation of worship and purpose. When you set your plans, goals, action steps, or whatever, you know, we're in a season and a time where people have set resolutions and all this kind of stuff. Well, remember to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask him for his assistance. He'll keep you on track, sowing and reaping. There's a sowing and a reaping. See, we got to understand that there's a sowing and a reaping. Job 4:8, "As I observe, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." Sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7-10, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh," or NIV says sinful nature, from that he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not faint or give up. Therefore, now listen, we usually stop there, but therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God or the family of believers. What should you do practically? Learn to be proactive instead of reactive. If you stay in your purpose, I'm talking to believers mostly now. Listen to me. Stay in your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, worship God and get into a place of humility. God will reveal it to you. You'll see it so clear. You'll know that you know that you know. Listen, think purpose. Stay in an attitude of worship. Is this what I really want to do right now? Become more time conscious. Time is for your purpose. You have no time to waste. Stay balanced and remember to maintain strategic alliances. God gives you relationships with certain people related to your purpose. Become strategic in your thinking and don't hesitate to do what God is leading you to do. Action. Annie Dillard said, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. Edmund Burke said, nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do a little. And finally, Everett Hell said this here. He said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. And let me encourage you now in this new year, in this season, this time that we're living in, not according to just a date that's on the calendar, but understand that something's breaking forth in your spirit, in your heart. Establish proper priority in your life now and move in the blessing. WPA, worship, purpose, and action. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Come on now, let's just praise God right now. Right now, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we return to Bethel. We return to Bethel. Lord, we return to Bethel. Open our eyes. Revelation right now. Angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Open our eyes right now, dear God. We get a revelation, Lord God, of what you have called us to, who we are, how we are to walk, how we are to function. Open our eyes right now as we worship you, as we worship you, recognizing it's not all about us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to get a revelation, Lord God. Get a revelation right now, Father God. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, there are those right now who are listening to this program, and I'm not. Maybe you don't even believe in prophecy, but I'm going to release something right now. There are those who are listening to this program right now, and you have barely been able to make it to where you are right now. And sometimes when you think about what you have gone through, it almost causes you to faint. But God will say to you today that he has brought you through. He has brought you through. And many of you has been like a valley of Baca or of weeping. But God wants you to know that he's been working something in your life right now, and you have been brought to this time in this season of birthing, and it is being birthed even right now, and you are walking forward because you do have strength. The glory of the Lord is moving in your life right now, and you do have strength. It's the strength that God gives you right now, and you have been brought to a place of right now dependence upon God, and you have been brought to a place that where you desire and not only just want to worship, but you do worship. You act upon what you desire and what you seek, and God is saying right now that there is a fulfillment being released in your life that goes beyond what you can even imagine or think. A fulfillment, the fulfillment of actually seeing God working in you and through you. And you are being brought into a place now of not only understanding intellectually what faith is, but you are being brought into a faith walk, a walk where you learn not to be intimidated by circumstances and the things that will surround you. You are learning to shift your speech and change what you say, and you're learning to speak as God would have you to speak. God has put a watch over your mouth, over your tongue, and no longer will you engage in foolish conversation, and no longer will you engage in talking about what the circumstances are, how you cannot do this because this is the way this is. Stop it. stop it right now in the name of Jesus and speak forth what I say to you, says the Lord. Speak forth what I will put in your mouth. Speak it forth right now. Speak forth that I will give to change circumstances and to change environments. For this is what you are called to. You are not called to walk according to what you can see with natural eyesight, but you are called to walk according to what you see in me and see in the Spirit, says the Lord. Father God, we thank you now. Thank you for that word that you released. Thank you for this training. Thank you for what you're doing now. We have been called to effective prayer and effective action. Lord, I pray that what is being released here will mobilize your people to act. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.